Now, don't disappoint here, Berkey. Did you play tennis and were you good at it?
I was a cricketer in my time. But if I ever played tennis, it was collar up, absolutely.
Yeah, collar up.
Short, tuck the shirt in. So it's pretty much the same way I played rugby as well.
Hey, Berkey, I guess we've been chatting about this for quite some time, but we'll be lucky to have it. We'll be lucky to field any Super Rugby sides. We don't. Everyone's just going to be playing in Japan or Europe, including confirmation now about Quade Cooper and Will Guinea off to the World Cup. Well, off to the World Cup, but off to Japan after the World Cup.
Yeah, it's a mass exodus, isn't it? You can sort of see why the older guys are going. The guys are sort of 29, vintage is 29, 30 thereabouts, and that sort of falls in the category of Cooper, Guinea, and Foley. Foley was always sort of going to be. He sort of, I suppose, dictated his own terms. Guinea has failed to sort of reach an agreement with Rugby Australia to move on, and I can understand their choice in doing that as well. When you've got some great halfbacks coming through, McDermott, Powell, you've got the guys from the Waratahs there as well. Obviously, no Nick Fitz, he's moving on too. Jake Gordon. So all of a sudden, there's a plethora of people. Then you've got Nick White as well, who's coming back from the UK. So I can understand that area, but you're right. The guys are out. They've seen. Whether it's UK or Japan, as an option to take up some cash and finish off their career. But the interesting one, boys, is when I did it, it was at the end of your career. Guys are going mid-career now. Guys are going mid-World Cups to go and sort of play a different format, different style, and come back to World Cup. So yeah, it weakens our Super Rugby team immensely. Absolutely.
Does that mean they're unavailable for Wallaby selection as well, Berkey, or do they pick them to come back when there's a Test match on?
No, well, it goes by the Gitto law, Laurie, which is the 60 test matches overseas. So, in effect, those guys will still be available to play for Australia, should they be chosen. But, it's a tough one for the selectors because, do they bank on the old guys coming through and just pick the old guys? Or is there a stage where you need to get a whole new head of cattle in there and start getting them ready for the next crew? So I imagine they're going to be looking forward to the next generation after that. Under-20s did well. There's a couple of guys that will sort of be dotted in and around Super Rugby teams and potentially sort of go further than that. But at the moment, it would be a rebuilding phase for 2020. Mm.
What's the reason then James O'Connor's been brought back into the fold?
He's done his time overseas. So if you remember, he left unceremoniously. He had issues, in amongst the team. He had issues at the airport that time in Perth, I think it was. And he left, he left immature, I suppose you could say. All of a sudden he's come back. He's not so much done his time, but he's actually done really well overseas, playing for Sale. And the Sale coach actually said, head down, bum up, and you'll go okay. So he's no doubt a good player. He's got some talent, and he fits the mould at the moment in Australian rugby where he can play. He can play a 10, 12, 13 or wing. So he can be a very handy replacement. So he's been shipped over to South Africa. He got the late call up because Marika Korobedi was, I think, wife expecting a baby. So he's over there training, and for him, it's a nice little start to be back in the mould for potentially World Cup selection.
Absolutely. We've got this test match coming up against the South Africans, mate, but it's it's Sunday week.
Correct.
Yeah. So, and geez, we're rank outsiders, mate. I mean, I know it's a long way to go, but we're 3.40 up against South Africa, $1.32.
Yeah, it was always going to be that way. First game of the year against South Africa. It's interesting when you look at the matchups and how they're going to play and what selection they're going to choose for Wallabies outfit. And if anything, I think as you mentioned previously, I think it's got to be more Brumbies orientated. It's got to be more Brumbies in that team and the way they play. And for numbers 1 to 8, it's going to be very important to be able to match that physicality of South Africa. So, and I checked it the other day that they're going in to this game as, I suppose, a little bit underdone. But I think what they need to do is they need to pick their best combinations and stick with that. And stay with that because that first game against Fiji in the World Cup is going to be oh so important, and they play Wales the week later. So how important is it going to be to top your pool there with if you're going into quarterfinal, if you're losing, if you're second the pool, you potentially could be up against England.
Yeah. That was my question, Berkey. Do they look to mix and match, or it's just to go out and win, build confidence, get that combination, what you think is right, rather than worrying about trying to build depth in your squad and all the other things that they talk about? And how important is it for us to win those games?
Yeah, momentum is going to be everything, Loz, you know, and not to, I suppose, commend mediocrity, if that's the word, but if they play well, if they get dusted and play well, there's maybe some vision in that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So what they'll be trying to do is obviously win the game, but apart from that, they need to set pretty much in stone where they're going to be, knowing where they're going to be for World Cup. I don't think this next sort of five games, throwing in Samoa at the back end of it before they go away, is going to be an experimentation before a World Cup. I think you've got to lock your team down, know who your best team is, and make them play and find that combination.
All right. I won't ask you for your team, but I'm interested to know your back line and who plays fullback with Nofalau.
Yeah, I'm really liking the way Tom Banks is playing. So down the Brumbies, he's been offering himself up from Christian Leilifano, so it's getting that inside ball. Outside ball, he's got genuine pace. He's been running well off Davide Kirandrani. He's a genuine fullback. You know, and I've said it with you guys before in the past about the other bloke that was there, came in at a level, left at a level, never really grew. And I reckon that, you know, it's going to offer a different dynamic to this team if one of those guys come in there. Obviously, Beals, you know, in for the run. You got Reece Hodge there at the back there, but I reckon if you're looking for future, if you're looking for down the track, I don't see a big problem by putting Tom Banks in there.
Have you been spending a bit of time with the coach whisperer? The other player? The other bloke?
We shan't mention his name. And I think it's getting mentioned too much at the moment. We need to concentrate on where we're going at the moment. The coach whisperer, I'm taking Kevin Walters.
he still wouldn't even do it in the press conference. Good on you, Berkey. We've got some old photographs being sent into view on Instagram of when your Eastwood days. They were the days, mate.
Oh,
club rugby.
I think I played about four games for them, unfortunately, in the end. Now I got my 50 up, which is good. So back to Eastwood weekend this weekend. Back to Eastwood day.
Yeah, fantastic. Good on you, Berkey.
Good on you, boys.